This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jake and Amir, bossa nova, if I were you, sitting by the park with two coaches. Jake and Amir, bossa nova, if I were you, baby, don't you wanna advise too? And then I think to myself, what would they do? They don't like classy jazz, only Blink 182.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, it's perfect. That's what they call a perfect theme song. It's one for everyone.
Really? Because it had the bossa nova style lounge
jazz.
Yes,
I'm smoking a cigarette in Havana, but then all of a sudden I'm in the mosh pit at Radio 104 Fest. I was transported to two different worlds.
Yeah. A little twofer.
Yeah.
And speaking of twofer, this guy uploaded the links to SoundCloud and Google Drive just in case I wanted one or the other.
That's really nice. That's
he provided a WAV file. He provided an MP3.
Oh my God.
That's all preparation. Over the place. Neil Reed.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name. Neil Reed. Cool. Thanks for the hours of entertainment and getting real. Do you remember the origin of Koi Jews? Why that became like a theme song thing, but I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a while we were into the word koi.
Because it's funny.
Yeah. And I think we were koi divas, maybe diva roach. We just like sometimes we do it with tacky.
Yeah.
We find a word that we really enjoy and we say it a lot. And I think we just got into calling ourselves, for a while we were calling ourselves Jews, which is fun. Mm-hmm. And I guess at some point koi Jews and that stuck.
Yeah.
So no, I don't remember the origin, but it's kind of ambiguous.
It's koi.
It's koi.
And it is tacky.
Yeah.
And it's Jewish. all right, sweet. Thanks, Neil Reed. This is If I Were You, the only advice show on the web hosted by us.
Yep.
I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
We're still in New York City.
We are.
I feel like I've been here for a month at this point.
It feels like that for me.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's funny, when people visit you, even though your life still feels familiar, it's all rocked. It all goes by the wayside.
Like when I'm in New York, your schedule, your routine
is
upended.
Yeah, because normally most of the people I work with are in LA. I have my mornings. Nobody bothers my ass before noon.
Because that's like 8 a.m. in LA.
Yeah, so I'll go to the gym early. I'll handle emails, errands, chores, things around the house. Around noon.
Cheeky fap.
Cheeky fap before noon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a luxurious fap if I'm starting by 10.
You're 10?
A two-hour tease. An edging session that lasts till midday. But when you visit, it's all off.
I can see your rock hard, and I guess you haven't like had the release
I pre-game.
Yet.
Yeah, yeah. Had a wet dream for lunch.
I bumped into you, and you, I think, exploded or something.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. It's tough. I feel all over the place.
Loopy.
Yeah.
Strange. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is a more balanced effort. Like, you often come to LA. I rarely come to New York.
Right. When I come to LA, does it feel like it's all go for you?
I guess it feels a little bit different, but you split your time between NADPOD and If I Were You.
So actually, I'm busy when I'm in LA, and you're kind of the same.
You're busy when you're in LA, but you're also busy when I'm in New York.
Yeah.
It's sort of a lose-lose.
For sure.
We should meet somewhere, a third-party city.
That's cool. Me and you in Kansas City.
Damn. I don't think we've ever been there together.
No. I've been there a few times, but without you.
A few times.
Once with Jill on our cross-country trip back to New York City when we were moving away from LA to get away from you. And then another time I went there to direct a commercial with Bobby Lamb.
I would love
Lamb and I on the Lamb. Yeah, one of your good friends. Yeah. We actually, you would have loved it. We were on a casino. Oh, we shot like in that. A casino.
Yeah, well, yeah. You, Bobby, and me. Where was I?
I imagine you were in L.A. just jerking your gherkin like I do in New York.
Yeah. God damn. I feel like whenever you go to places without me, it's...
I have fun.
To escape
to you. Yeah. To be away from you.
Right.
Yeah.
And now that I'm here...
I want to leave. Yeah.
You want to go somewhere else.
Thinking about getting away for the afternoon.
Where
do you... I'll... To get space. Just to... Yeah. You're... It's not a big deal. You're a lot. You're grading. You're tough to be around for an extended period of time. Because, you know, you're needy. You're needy in a way. And it's not even just being needy because you expect the attention. And it's also...
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel that way to me.
Right. Well, nothing feels that way to you because you're you. And
right.
You feel like you're all... Like this coffee.
That's easy going.
That's easy going. Whatever. We were supposed to record the podcast. You said, I need caffeine. And we're like, well, we have to get this podcast out of the way because the engineers are coming in to train in the studio. We're going to set it up. And then you were like, well, I'm not doing anything until I've had my coffee.
Yeah, I said, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. Which is like a funny way to say that.
Let's go get your coffee. But then you wanted to take a nap because you didn't want just the jolt of caffeine.
Right,
because
I crash afterwards. Right.
So now... It's 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. and you made everyone stay late.
True. And we should say it's December 31st.
That's right,
everyone else had plans.
Right.
And we're probably releasing this late February, early March. Yeah.
It's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? To accommodate you.
Yeah.
But like, it's not even to
Three,
make you.
Three, two, one.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, let's focus on the episode
right.
at hand.
Yeah. I don't want to do too many production jokes.
Okay. Like we said, if I were you,
uh-huh.
advice show. Uh-huh. Let's see if we can answer some questions.
Let's do it.
I found some pretty insane ones.
Really?
Some pretty salacious, kind of fucked up ones.
These ones are dark.
Like, holy shit. I can't believe this person had the audacity to think this, let alone write it down.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
But here we go. This one's called Mind Games.
Mind Games. Love it.
So we'll call this person David Blaine.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to visit my sister for a few days in about a week. I'm staying with her for about a week while I move. My concern is actually about her boyfriend. They've been together for a while now, and I used to think he was a really nice guy, just a bit on the quiet side. My feelings for him changed after the last time I sated with them. I mentioned to my sister that I can't stand Cheeto Puffs.
Where's this going?
The next day he showed up from running errands with a big bag of the cheesy snack. For the entire rest of my stay, he always had a bag nearby. It just seemed really off to me. Like, who does he think he is? Is this some kind of dominance thing? My sister doesn't even seem to notice or care. Is it just me, or is he trying to spite me by eating Cheetos Puffs? Please tell me I'm not that crazy and that this collar-popping douchebag is being a dick. Love. I was going to say his real name. My God, can you imagine?
David Blaine.
P.S. I was FaceTiming with my sister, and I saw him in the background eating Cheetos Puffs.
Well, so then he might like them on his own.
What?
It's like you don't like this very popular snack.
Yeah.
A lot of people love them.
Yeah, but they're not too popular. I mean, haven't probably had them in years.
We have some in the kitchen.
Puffs?
Yeah.
Cheeto Puffs?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A big blue bag?
I don't know if it's the blue. Well, they're individual. I mean, like Pirate's Booty or like anything at Trader Joe's. These puffs they're still popular.
Yeah.
They're not like, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have like the plastic tub of Cheeto balls.
Oh, the cheese balls.
Yeah,
God, I love that. Yeah. I used to like suck on them until like the cheese went away and then they like became like rock hard. They went from like thick sponges to like.
That's so gross.
Yeah, I used to do that. They were called cheese balls, like C-H-E-E-Z.
Yeah. Cheese balls, yeah.
Yeah, a fucking plastic wheelbarrow or a keg.
Yeah, I love
it. What's it called?
Bucket, the plastic bin, the plastic.
It's like, you know, in the Old West, the like Donkey Kong threw them.
Barrel.
Barrel, yeah. Oh. Big plastic fucking barrel of cheese balls.
Yeah. I love those too.
I love
didn't do the sucking thing. That's
this guy's that's making actually, me want to eat Cheeto Puffs at this point.
Yeah, what you did was basically just remind him that he liked Cheetos or Cheesy Puffs, Cheese Puffs, whatever they
Cheesy
are.
Poofs. Cheesy Remember poofs. That from South Park?
Cheesy Poofs. Beefcake. Respect my authority. Yeah.
That show is good.
It's great.
Like, it's been co-opted by, like, needy tweens, but it's still funny. It's
still hilarious.
Beefcake. Cheesy Poof.
That was actually my AIM name for a little while.
Cheesy Poof?
Yeah.
Wow, not bad.
I was a fairly early adopter.
Yeah, Cheesy Poof's a pretty good. No numbers, no extra letters, just Cheesy Poof.
Yeah.
Do you remember the password on that?
It was Spade, like David Spade. Mm.
Remember there was Justin Ouellette was a programmer at Vimeo whose screen name was Refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good screen name.
But now, like, you know, you were sitting on these, like, awesome AIM names. I don't even think AIM exists anymore. Like, could you possibly sign into AIM or AOL right
now? And did they park the domain names, or could I now get a great AIM name?
Right. Like, are they gone forever, or do they expire?
Is ChillDude22 available?
AOL Instant Messenger. Like, could I download AOL Instant Messenger right now? Do you think yes or no?
Ooh, I guess I do think so.
You do think I can?
Yeah, I feel like they made some kind of new version.
AOL Instant Messenger. It redirects me to cancel.aol.com.
Interesting.
I guess AOL.com still exists. Like, you can use it as a mail client.
AOL.
Yeah, this is the AOL front page right now. It looks like Yahoo or something.
Oh, wow. They've really rebranded with, like, the minimalist Helvetica AOL.
Yeah.
It looks like a coffee shop in Copenhagen.
Right. It's Hygge.
Yeah. Low-key Hygge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try to log into my former AOL account, see what's
Bob
going
Rooney?
On in there. Yeah, my Bob Rooney. But this is not Instant Messenger. I really think they killed AIM. AIM.
Slack killed the AIM star.
What do you think? Slack killed the AIM star in my AIM and in my star.
Slack killed the AIM star.
TikTok
with three views.
Oh, look, product sunset on Mar. So it came out in 1997, mm-hmm. which is basically the highlight of my life. And then in 2012, AOL ended employment of AIM's development staff while leaving it active. And on 2017, it was announced that the AIM service would be discontinued.
Wow.
However, a not-profit team known as the Wildman Productions started up a server for older versions of Instant Messenger known as AIM Phoenix.
That's cool. So you can go on AIM still.
Yeah, you could still
what
use AIM
What a fun
AIM
little
Phoenix.
Nostalgic thing. Goddamn. Yeah.
The noise of the door opening and shutting.
It really would be so fun to just, like, if that account still worked and I could just open it up almost like it's a time machine and see what that list of
that
people
buddy list.
Like. I want to see what my buddy list was junior year of high school.
Oh, that's
like
really cool.
I don't talk to, almost any of those people. I guess just Jeff, Dave, and Mike.
Wow, this Phoenix things look like you can talk on AIM, ICQ, MSN chat, GChat. It's all the old types of chat.
Wow.
Group chat service have retained conversation history.
Huh?
I wonder if Phoenix can fucking access that shit. You got to look into this thing.
Man, to read your old AIM transcripts, would you want, if you could get them printed out almost as like a book, like an encyclopedia, would you want that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, worst case scenario is I don't read it. What about you can get all of your AIM conversations, but you have to tweet a link to them?
God, no.
You wouldn't want anybody else reading it.
No, because someone would read through them much, much more carefully than me. And I'm sure I
said some pretty nasty shit at age 14
in
1997.
Sure. Yeah, it's not good. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that out in the world, I don't think.
I'm actually accessing, what was yours?
Not telling you.
38 Jake or something.
Not even close.
I bet it's really close. Big Jake 38.
Way off. It's way off.
What was it?
You were right the first time.
All right, we'll look into this later. But what should this person do? I assume maybe the Cheeto Puffs thing sort of reminded him.
Yeah. I think the only way to know for sure is to go stay with them and eat a bunch of cheese puffs, just get over it just for that weekend and just eat them nonstop and see if he says anything. Mm. If he's like, I thought you didn't like cheese puffs, then he was doing it to fuck with you. But if he doesn't notice, then And that's also how you big dog him back.
That's cool.
He's like,
I actually love puffs myself.
Yeah. Brachion hives.
No, it's really fucking good, actually. I'm not allergic to the cornstarch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't take it so personally, ultimately.
I think so.
All right.
And either way, so if don't take it personally, and if he meant it personally, then you're fucking him over. And if he actually didn't, then all is good.
Yeah. Honestly, if someone is mean to you, that's fine because you're in the right.
Yeah.
The goal is to just not be mean to other people.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So ultimately, anybody could be mean to you, and that's okay.
On them.
Yeah. That's sort of making them look bad, and you look cool by not caring,
right,
or evidently caring a lot.
Yeah. But hiding that.
All right, let's take a break, come back, answer some more questions after these messages.
Okay.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right,
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back. Yes. No unsolicited advice this week.
No, we have too many questions to answer.
Yeah, and people to see.
Yeah, that's true.
This is like a robust, thriving urban metropolis, and I'm not going to spend it in this room talking to you about like what we should or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
I can go within 10 minutes be at the Natural History Museum.
Right. And you could, yeah, you can be at different museums. You could eat at world-class restaurants. You could be going to shows, to
Broadway
plays,
musicals,
to concerts.
At the drop of a hat.
And what have you done since you've been here?
Yesterday, we had the day off. Mm-hmm. So
what did you do?
I had breakfast at Chipotle at 2.
Yeah.
And then I passed the fuck out. I think, right, I'm jet lag or something.
No, I think you have food poisoning. Because you only eat at Chipotle.
And then
the
Yeah, I woke up.
You basically
up.
Just eat it. You wake up and eat at Chipotle and then go back to bed.
Yeah, I had this barbacoa outbreak allergy thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to bed at 4 p.m. and I woke up at 1 in the morning.
Have we talked about paddle tennis? Have we talked about paddle?
That's...
Because that's something we did do.
That's what we should do.
Yeah, that's...
We so can't actually, fully endorse it. Well, we'll get into it, but...
Yeah.
So, Micah, your brother,
right,
played paddle tennis about a month ago here.
Padel. P-A-D-E-L. Paddle yeah. tennis. I think, I don't know how it's pronounced. He was calling it padel, but also paddle.
Right. There is paddle tennis, which is like more of like an open source sport that anybody can play this seemingly anywhere.
Evidently some kind of proprietary sport called padel. P-A-D-E-L.
Right. Yeah, and it's a very specific sport that like you have to build specific courts to specific like dimensions slash... Yeah. Some of the wall is a glass wall. Some of it is a cage. Right. It's very specific.
There's a lot of... There's pickleball. There's tennis. There's squash. There's racquetball. There's platform tennis. There's paddle tennis.
Yeah.
But they're all... So basically just racket sports. But
right.
what he found is that there's this place that's basically like a huge indoor paddle court arena mm-hmm. where there's several different courts. Should we talk about what the court looks like?
Yeah, the court is sort of like a carpeted indoor tennis court.
Yeah.
But instead of with like a stringed racket, it's more like a flat metal racket that you
right.
play, but with a real tennis ball.
Yeah, yes. No strings, real tennis ball. Kind of like a firm carpeted ground with some sand on it for friction.
Yeah, sometimes there's sand. And then it kind of reminds me of racquetball because you can like hit it against the glass wall in the back and it bounces off the wall and goes to the other side.
And there's 3/4 of the court is covered in a, like or is a walled by a cage and the rest is glass and there's 3 squares there's like a forehand side, a backhand side, and then kind of like the baseline
back
that.
Rectangle
But there's not really any in or out. As long as your serve goes cross court and into one of the service boxes,
mm-hmm, you're good.
And it doesn't bounce and hit the fence, then the ball is in play. And after that, as long as the ball bounces once on the other side of the court, it can go off a fence, it can go off the glass. You can play the ball, like it can bounce and you can hit it off your own back glass.
Yeah, and then it flies then it goes to the other side.
It
was a fun tennis hybrid racquetball thing that we played.
Yeah. And you and I played on a team.
Yeah.
We talked about how we need to play each other, but we played on a team.
And we beat Micah and his friend.
In kind of a glorious fashion.
I wish we videotaped the whole thing, though it wouldn't have gone down that way. Just a slight variation would have tilted the entire game off.
Because
on a different
axis. we went down early in the first set, 2-0, came back.
One, six, tied it four,
up.
Yeah.
2-2. They went up 4-2, and then we ended up winning
6-4. Of course.
Next set, it seemed like they turned it on. We mm-hmm. switched sides. They jumped ahead 4-0.
That's right.
And I was like, great, well, we're going to have to split sets and play a third one to see who,
that's
who
right.
wins.
We got to get it out within the hour.
But we stormed back, comeback kid style. We won 6-4.
So it was very fun to play, but the reason I hesitate to endorse it is the
expenditure.
The pricing was, I was stunned. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was taken aback.
New York is an expensive place.
Yeah, everything is like 1.5x more than you would think in another city.
Like, for instance, my climbing gym, I think it's like $30 for a day pass. In other places I've gone, it's like 15 to 20.
Exactly. So a salad is $18 instead of 12.
Yeah. But this was beyond the pale, I think.
Right. So the only thing I had to compare it to is what I pay to rent a court in LA for tennis, which is $8 an hour.
Right.
And then Mike is like, padel tennis,
yeah.
which is really fun, is $55 an hour.
Right.
So I started laughing. I'm like, well, that's 4x what I usually pay for the court.
Yeah.
But I guess this is also a different kind of tennis variation.
Uh-huh.
But so I guess you're telling the truth. $55 an hour seems extreme.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, but it's per person.
Yeah.
So there's 4 of us. And then I'm like, okay, so you are fucking with me. We're obviously not paying $220 an hour.
Yeah.
For a court, because that's like how much you pay for like a helicopter ride.
And it's true. We weren't paying $220 an hour. We actually had to pay a little bit more.
Exactly. It didn't include the rentals.
It didn't include the rentals. Yeah. Which, and you need a racket and you need the balls.
So
but actually, you can't rent the balls. You have
to
buy
the balls. Right.
Yeah.
So it was $60 per person. There was 4 of us. It's $240 for the hour.
Yeah.
Which is unprecedented hourly rate for anything. Even therapy is cheaper
than
that.
Yeah. And it comes with nothing. Like, you don't, it's not like going to the paddle house gets you access
to a juice like bar, a sauna,
locker room.
Yeah, you like can stay there for the whole day.
Yeah, no, yeah, you just 1 hour.
$240 for the hour, which is like a really nice dinner, but you get to spend a lot of time at the dinner. This is like, you got to be out of here at 5
because
you're here at 4.
But look, I will say that we had so much fun.
That we considered going back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it's insanely expensive, but it was essentially worth it.
$60 per person.
It's funny how expensive it was, but I think it was worth it. I don't have any regrets.
I don't have regrets for doing it once. I don't think I could afford to do it every day, though.
Well, this gym for...
It's called the Paddle House.
Paddle House. You can join and be a member for, what was that, $120, $150?
$150 a month plus a $490 initiation fee.
$500 initiation fee, $150 a month.
Which doesn't get you free access to the courts.
It gives you the privilege of paying $35 an hour to rent the court.
Yeah.
So for $150 an hour plus $500.
You can get $20 off your hourly rate.
Yes.
Which you'll break even if you play 8 times a month, which will cost several.
And are you allowed to bring guests? We didn't even ask that.
Of course not. I assume not. You can't bring anything.
Like I would pay $35 an hour, but if I brought you, it's not $35 an hour for
I'm
you.
I'm still paying the $55.
Yeah, I would think so.
Very expensive hobby slash sport.
Yeah.
Very fun,
uh-huh.
But also $240 an hour is hard to... Justify and it's like, oh, we should have reserved the court for 2 hours
for sure.
Okay, so that's what, $120 to exercise per day?
But then you start saving money on the rental because you're not renting per hour.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. Are you renting like the equipment rental?
Yeah, that's an overhead one-time rental fee. So activity good. Actually, somebody DM'd me. They live in Dublin, and he pays €9 an hour.
Yeah. Well, so, what we need is more paddle houses to flood the market so the price can go down. Because it's very, very fun.
There's not even one in LA.
Yeah.
Like, that's how rare it is.
I think they're going to take the world by storm because pickleball is fun, but it's too free.
Yeah.
And we need something.
Pickleball's already over because everyone's playing it. People are annoyed with picklers.
Yeah.
So we're going
to... At least this is a contained place. There's a place for paddle.
What we could do is just hire someone to build 2 paddle courts in like an empty warehouse.
Ultimately
somewhere.
Cheaper.
Yeah. And then we would be the ones charging.
We should shutter HeadGum and do that.
Yeah. Because this could be a court. Yeah. It's not that much space.
Or this could be the area where you charge for the rentals.
Oh, that's cool. And so for the racket, how much do you imagine?
Well, what does paddle do? 15, 10, 10 for the racket?
I think $5 per hour for the racket.
Oh, we should up that because we don't have the court. Yeah. We need to make our money on the racket rental.
You think
it's a racket?
Nice, dude. You think people would rent the racket from us if there's no court, though?
Yeah, because then they would take it to the paddle house.
So you rent it
because we rent it by the week instead of by the hour.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of like surfing in that way.
Exactly. My other expensive hobby.
But the beach is free, man. You'll never see someone charging the ocean.
Yeah, but you have to pay to the park.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Shit.
No, parking's free too, actually.
Imagine hanging 10 and charging 10.
That's good.
That's like impossible, right? There's no way, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, you are.
Actually, someone wrote us an email saying that they're in a pickle.
Let's hear it.
And it's about sports.
Great. A sports pickle, literally. I love that.
I'm a junior in high school, and I come from a family that lives and breathes football, and I was pressured into playing it all my childhood. And this year, I finally decided to quit, and my whole family is very disappointed because it was the only sport I played. My question is, should I play this year for my family or just shake it off and find another activity? Did you ever play a sport just for your family?
I think everything I ever played was because my parents were making me in their own way. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, like every kid before the age of probably 13 is just like I was not like, take me to basketball tryouts. My mom's like, yeah, basketball tryouts.
Yeah.
You'll try out for the team and then you'll play the thing.
I imagine I think I was presented with choices, you know, like, and I was most resistant to some of them and less resistant. Like, I really hated soccer for some reason.
I never played Little League soccer or baseball.
I wish I played more because now I love soccer and I wish I were better at it.
Yeah, now that we're closer to the age of the adults, I'm like, now I'm thinking from their angle, like, if I have kids, I'm just going to make them play all the sports. Like,
yeah, so they're a little well-rounded when they grow
up. Yeah, and then you can be like, yeah, even if you suck, it builds character as an adult that you were really bad at this thing and you learn how to adapt. Or if you're really awesome, it's cool because it's like, hey, yeah, look at my fucking kid. He just scored 10 points in this basketball
game. Maybe you like it, yeah. I mean, I remember being like pushed to
play. Wait, shut up a second. No adult wishes they played sports less as a kid. You know what I mean? All right.
I don't know. That's also not... It's not true. I have friends who were like,
I wish I didn't play that much. I took it too seriously.
Yeah, like my sister Liza was like, she was doing gymnastics like 30 hours a week at one point. And that's like, well, I mean, at the time she did, but now she's grown up and she's like, wow, I like really, I was, yeah, like Nick Rad was like a world-class wrestler in high school. And he's, yeah, it feels like that was, you know, too much to put on a kid. So some, yeah, there it goes both ways, I think. Yeah,
for sure.
Also, you interrupted me to have this kind of like milquetoast, ill-thought-out take.
Yeah, that didn't need, it didn't justify basically pausing.
You told me to shut up. You said shut up for a second.
No, I thought I said stop for a second.
Really?
Well, I meant I said shut up for a second.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like shut up.
Yes, it was.
It was basically like, shut the fuck up for a second.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
But not in like a...
In what?
A mean way. I'm telling you how you felt.
Yeah.
What were you saying even?
I don't remember now.
Right. Yeah. That thought it doesn't is fleeting matter. Slash gone.
I think this person's not going to let their parents down as much as they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, I think maybe it's like lets a parent down to be like, I quit football and I don't want to do anything. But like, if you have a good reason for quitting football, I'm into this other thing. Your parents can get into that. I think parents just need to find a way to support. At least good parents need to find a way to support you or like show their love for you.
That's cool. So it's almost like a lesson to your parents. I'm not going to play football. Now what?
Right.
Do you like support my art? I used to play Little League basketball growing up, but only because I had friends who played basketball. My friends were really good, and I was bad.
Right.
My friends' dads were like the coaches, and like when your dad is the coach, did you ever play like youth basketball? You basically have tryouts, and all the coaches watch you do play, and then they literally have a draft where it's like, I want this kid, this kid, this kid. So there's like some parody in the league.
I played like JCC basketball, and that was not how we did it.
Yeah, and so because my best friend growing up, his dad was the coach. He always got that player, his son, who's really good.
Right.
And then also they would throw in me. Like, I would be on the team because they're like, nobody wants this other kid.
Yeah. Oh, that's like
so he'd be the star, and then I would always be on his team.
It's like, all right, like, you get the star because he's your son, but that's not totally fair, so you have to have this dead weight.
Yeah, and Amir has to fucking start, and then all the other coaches would giggle. And then the dad, the coach, would be like, all right, I can start him, but I don't want to have to play him equal amount
of
minutes.
One summer, you spent every single day practicing in your driveway.
Yeah.
You had a growth spurt, and you came out, and you showed everyone because you still sucked.
Yeah, and it was... Do you think I'm bad at basketball
now?
Good
God, man.
What? I wanted to show them I can shoot.
Nice.
The rock.
Awful. Awful. I'm not a part of this.
By shooting a single rock, which was ultimately fine. It was ultimately a loud noise, but nobody was hurt that day.
Yeah.
In this fucking metaphorical story.
You rescued this weird joke.
But I have no actual experience playing real sports like football, wrestling, nothing combative like that. You ever put on pads and stuff like that?
For football?
Yeah.
No.
Never. Wrestling?
No. I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems hard.
Definitely.
I played flag football.
Oh, you know what? I did one time because my high school football team, it was a really small school. Mm-hmm. So you were required to play two sports.
Two?
A year. So like.
Wow.
I think in the year one, I did like cross country and then tennis. But the next year I didn't want to play anything cause I wasn't good. And one of the ways I could get out of playing sports was by being the athletic manager's assistant.
Okay.
So I was just kind of like, I would go to the athletic fields after school and I would just like drive around in a golf cart and like, I'd bring, the soccer team water or I'd go and like, if a football player was injured, I'd drive them to the bus or whatever.
Yeah, you were a de facto.
I was a gopher. Yeah. I was just an assistant, and it wasn't a real sport, but it counted because I was doing something.
Yeah.
And I remember the football coach like needed me to help like them run a play to kind of like show them how they're supposed to block or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was so inept that even when he was like he was like setting things up, he's like, all right, so like just run towards me. And I like was like walking and he's like and like juke left and I was like didn't know what to do.
I don't
and
know what juke means. Yeah,
everyone on the football team was just laughing at me trying to run a fake football play so the coach could fake tackle me to understand what they were supposed to do.
Didn't you spend a summer as a jock strap? Like your team didn't have enough jock straps.
Yes.
And you had to literally protect the quarterback's balls. That's right. During a drill.
That's right. That's
so they would long snap it into your face just to like check.
But
the
I was
cup.
Able to put that on my resume and I got into college.
Yeah. I was a cup for a summer.
Yeah, you're it's an ex the student government being a cup.
Here, let's test the cup. You wear a cup and Hurwitz, you put your teeth where that guy's balls are and I'll kick you.
People need to, you need to have like that, like volunteering, really good for your college resume.
Yeah.
Being a towel.
A towel boy.
Oh, yeah, no. You just be a towel. So yeah, they'll use you to wipe their face after a play.
I was a drying rag. I did the same thing because there was one semester a year the PE was aquatics, which is like swimming stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I did not want to do that at like 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
I wasn't good at swimming. It was really cold. I had to deal with like changing in the locker room. So you could sign up for a PE elective. So I took badminton.
Nice.
So like all these guys would go like swimming in the morning and I would like, I don't know, do nothing. And then I would take badminton.
And that's why you're so good at padel.
Exactly. Which brings us back to the padel. Yeah. Badminton is another fun racket sport.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of running.
All right, you don't have to play football. There, we said it.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
You are absolved.
But everything else you have to do.
Paddle?
Soccer, tennis, paddle.
Being a cup.
Yeah, it's a towel, being water. You have to be at least water. Will you at least be water this semester?
Water.
All right, let's take another break. Think some s'mores, and we'll be back after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we've returned.
Yes, we have.
One last question.
To rule them all.
That's right. This one is sort of about politics. So let's tread lightly.
Yeah.
We'll call this guy...
Hunter Biden.
Thank you. Longtime watcher slash listener, and I need some help. Recently, my best friend and I were talking about politics, and she said that we should send all the immigrants home because they were stealing our jobs and our money. When I say immigrants, she's talking about every foreigner. She also dropped some pretty extremist right-wing views recently, like how working class are subservient to the upper class. She's basically a neo-Nazi. The weird thing is she comes from a family of first-generation immigrants, no British blood in her, and both her parents work, so she's technically working class. Before this, she also had was a really good friend to me and helped me through loads of stuff. And I used to think she was the nicest person before I found out she was mental. How am I supposed to react to this? And should I stop contacting with her before she starts hailing the Third Reich? Am I overreacting to stop talking to her just because of this?
I think not necessarily.
It's fine to be like, this is so fucked up, I don't even want to change your opinion.
Yeah.
Like, some people are so far gone, there's nothing doing there.
I mean, I don't know. I think for me it'd be hard. Like, if one of my best friends just started saying that, I wouldn't feel like I had a connection with them anymore.
you would feel like I can't even get through to you.
Yeah. But I also don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I think it kind of depends on how important, like how often are you having these conversations? Because people have to live with this within their families and stuff, you know?
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, I got the one conservative uncle.
Yeah. And I'm lucky that I don't really have that. But I know that people, you can't just like completely cut people out of your life sometimes.
Yeah. Is your entire family, even extended family, a bleeding heart liberal cuck?
I don't think entire extended family bleeding heart liberal. Like, we had some conservatives in like some second cousins, like some very far off cousins.
That you don't have to interact with very much.
But they don't, I mean, they like, we're conservative, but don't vote for Trump.
Right.
You know, not like, I think that's like a different level now.
A Mitt Romney Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
But this lady seems to be like a very extreme right. Like anti.
QAnon thing. Yeah. That's rough. And I think I personally would excommunicate just about anyone from my life for having those thoughts.
Yeah. I remember when we were talking about when Trump was first elected, Billy was on our podcast. He's like, yeah, if they're my friend, I'd want to like get to know them, get to the bottom of it, and try to change their mind.
Yeah.
And you were more like, no, if you actually think this stuff, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
That seems to be the gamut of what you can do.
Yeah. Right. So, and Billy's a better person than me, so I'd maybe take Billy's advice.
Is it the equivalent of them trying to change your mind? Like, it's that not going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? It's you, God, I forget the metaphor, but like debating somebody. Oh, yeah, debating someone that's stupid. They bring you to their level and then beat you with their intelligence or something like that.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't want to get into these conversations with anybody.
It's always weird when someone who's like,
oh, beat you with experience.
Yeah.
Know, whatever.
When you're like debating with someone and they know a bunch of like, minutia that you don't. They're like, well, what about the thing that happened in 1979? You're like, I don't know what that is. Like, see?
Yeah.
You don't know what happened in 1979?
Well, I don't imagine you don't either, because whatever it is, you live your life fueled by hate, and I don't.
But
so
it seems like someone changed this person's mind, or at least someone formed, like, nobody has this opinion from birth. They have to have been mind changed at one point, and I guess we have too.
Yeah.
Yeah, from our friends/television shows that
we're all in our own corners, but one of them is the right one.
Yeah, we're in the right bubble
for sure.
Yeah, we're extremists, but for the correct side.
Mm-hmm.
So should I stop contacting with her before she starts?
How did they say this is a best friend? Was this like
recently my best friend? Yeah, if it was your best friend.
Yeah, I really don't know. I think if that's my best friend, I start looking at my other friends and being like, maybe your new best friend and the old best friend is kind of just like close acquaintance. You don't have to like fully cut that person out, but it's like, all right, well, I think that your takes on politics are so bad that I think I can't spend all my time with you like I would a best friend.
Yeah.
But maybe you're good in small doses, and my other best friends, we can hang out and like anything is on the table because I know that I feel more comfortable around them.
Yeah. Also, when it comes to my like best friend, I don't have like a singular person. I have like a group of friends.
Well, you do. Me is, I would say I'm your best friend, but you mean like after me? Or do you mean like, I was trying to figure out, because you were like, you said you don't have.
I barely know you. Like, I'm sorry for that. Ruh-roh.
Record scratch.
Yeah. Record scratch. Like, we go weeks, months without talking. Sometimes I don't care to know you on a personal or interpersonal. I don't know your opinion about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We have no deep or meaningful conversations, literally
surface
ever.
Level.
Yeah.
But we make each other laugh and we bring each other a lot of joy.
We don't.
And I think ultimately, I think ultimately that's what matters.
Right. And I disagree even with that.
Yeah. Right. I see that.
Yeah.
But. So what we do have, what we do have is history, because we, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and you can't even
the
even
only
a new
true
best
thing
friend,
is that we've known each other for a long time.
You can't take that away from us. We've known each other for a long time. That's history, and that's meaningful, and I think that's what makes us closer than, say, any of your other friends.
I was going to say, if there's a group of friends, someone's going to feel like your best friend, if they're hanging out with like 9 people,
yeah,
then it's weird if they're all on the other side of her. Like, I think one thing and my 8 friends in this friend group don't.
Yeah.
Don't you then start second guessing, 1, your friends, and 2, whether you're actually correct about your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just think, oh, all my friends, like, do you have an opinion that eight of your closest friends all disagree with?
I don't think so. Oh, I remembered when we went on a camping trip, this was like 15 years ago. I said that you could cheat on someone you loved and everybody said that you couldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because by definition, you don't love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, no, you could still love them, but yeah, cheat on them.
And I remember everybody was kind of aghast.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I think that's true.
And so yeah. I guess they could think that about foreign politics or, right, you know, immigration or...
Yeah. Some things are just taboo and you don't want the things to be taboo with your best friend, but like... If I got in the back of an Uber, I wouldn't just like start talking politics because you're like, this won't be fun. Right. So maybe that's kind of the thing that you do with this friend now.
You sort of just push that stuff off.
Fade away from this best friend on these topics. And I think inevitably that person will become less your friend because you're not talking about every single thing. It's not all on the table.
Do you think your cheating thing you still believe and your friends still disagree with, or you guys have sort of come on common ground?
I don't talk to these people about that anymore. I haven't talked to them. I think it's still true.
Yeah.
I think it's still true.
So it's up to them if they've changed their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I bet a lot of people think I'm wrong, but I think it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how it works with anything. I think some things that other people disagree with. I'm sure if I had listed all of my opinions, there would be some that are 99% of people that I'm friends with
disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I think beer is any good.
Right. Or the mafia story.
Oh yeah, where like, I thought I was right playing the game.
A lot of people agree.
Yeah, don't take my side.
Yeah, but yeah. I do take your side on that.
And I take your side on the cheating thing.
Best friend.
Maybe we are closer than we thought. We could find common ground. Anybody can.
Exactly.
All right, sweet. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for watching.
Indeed.
We're on YouTube right now, so you can watch us. This video or this podcast as a video.
Yeah.
Or you can continue listening on the go.
That's right.
You ever watch a full podcast episode on YouTube?
Not me. No.
I think we're old school like that.
Yeah.
Newer fans like watching stuff.
Yeah. You watch passively while you're at work.
A window that's open in the background.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. So thanks for if you're doing that.
If you do that, thank you.
And if you have your own questions or theme songs, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow.
That's right.
@gmail.com. Let's hear that theme song again, shall we?
Why not?
And you can watch more of us on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
We're watching old Jake and Mir episodes.
Classics.
Classic Jake and Mir episodes. Well, some of them are pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, actually, for sure.
Some of them are old, some of them are classic.
Some of them are awful.
And we shot some new ones now, so there's probably new ones potentially on the HeadGum channel
by
the time you watch this.
Yeah.
So definitely subscribe to the HeadGum channel.
Do that for
sure. Watch our new episodes. Check us out on Patreon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. One last time, this is Neil Reed, I believe it was. Neil Reed with a theme song that was the bossa nova / punka rocka Blink-182 theme song.
Yeah.
I was way off. Neil Reed was last week.
Okay.
This is... Holy smokes. I didn't read this at all. Oh my God. I was way off.
Really?
Yeah. Just threw this theme song together today. I hope you guys like it and use it for the show. If you end up using it, would love a plug for my Spotify/Instagram.
Oh, come on.
Ethan Sermon.
Who do we plug up top?
Neil Reed.
Why?
Maybe that was the last episode.
Oh my God.
And my band, The Neighborhood Watch. We're from Toronto and have been loving your comedy since I was too young to know.
Awesome. We should probably use this song next week too so we can promote him properly.
Yeah. Holy smokes. For Ethan real. Sermon. We're
Thanks,
sorry.
Ethan.
And I was about to fucking let this play out as a Neil Reed original. We've been doing too many episodes.
Yeah. It's too much.
We're at capacity.
Yeah. Our brains are fried.
Goodbye forever.
Later.
Jake and Amir, bossa nova, if I were you. Sitting by the parka with two coaches, Jake and Amir, bossa nova, if I were you. Baby, don't you wanna advise too? And then I think to myself, what would they do? They don't like classy jazz, only Blink 182. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jake and Jesus.
was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.